welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
It is really a privilege to be back here, and there's just so much that's happening in the world today. How many of you know things seem to be speeding up rather quickly? I don't think there's anywhere in the world that we go that people don't sense a pace that's picking up. And I think we're learning to run with horsemen. You know, I was, it's so funny. Yesterday, I was joining a good friend of mine down in a golf club called Littlestone. Many of you know the area, past Ashford, down by Folkestone. And he invited me to play golf, and I'm not one of these great golfers, trust me. Although one day I want to write a book called Holy in One. I'd like to get a hole in one, actually. But I'll never forget when we were leaving the hotel where we're staying, and a guy in the elevator saw me with the golf clubs. He said, "So where are you going to play?" And I told him, "Littlestone." He said, "Well, there's one hole that the bunker is so high, when you're in there, you're a goner. Wouldn't you know it?" I hit the drive right into that bunker. And then I'm looking at this thing, this mountain of a bunker, twice my height at least. And I'm thinking, and my friend's going, "You'll never get out of there. Just, you know, pick it up." I said, "No." I said, "I'm going to hit this out." And first shot out, I hit it out. And I realized that with God, all things are possible. Now, Jewish people, when we play golf, we pray a lot. And so I made it through. And it was one of the things I've learned about playing golf, besides it's kind of my new mission field, is that you can find yourselves in the worst of places and somehow get out of them. And I think that's so often like our life. You know, when I came to know Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, I was 17 years old. And, you know, it's like all hell broke loose after I became a believer. And I want to find the guy who was preaching in the streets those days that said, "When you come to Jesus, all your problems will go away." I'd like to find out where he is. I'd like to wring his neck, actually. I've had more challenges and more issues to deal with. But you know what? We learn that God is faithful. And I'll never forget when our good friend, my spiritual mentor, Derek Prince, went home to be with the Lord. He left me a note. He said, I want on my grave that God is faithful. And you know, that's so true with all of us, isn't it? If it wasn't for God's faithfulness, I don't know where we would be today. And Bhatti and I are here today with all of you because of that faithfulness. Many of you know us already, and some of you don't, but we represent a ministry with two names called Vision for Israel and the Joseph Storehouse. Here in the UK, it's known as the Joseph Storehouse. In Israel, it's known as Vision for Israel. We are not only dedicated to the physical restoration of Israel, both to the Jews and Arabs and all minority groups in Israel, via using humanitarian aid as reflecting God's compassion and his character for the people of the land that we love and live in and are residents and citizens of in the Middle East. But we also believe that the job is not complete unless we're dedicated to the spiritual restoration of Israel as well. And there is no plan B of salvation. I am a full-blooded Jew. Bhatia is a full-blooded Jewess. We both come from the tribe of the Levites. I'm not spiritualizing it. It happens to be true about our bloodline. But we recognize one fact, that Jew and Gentile, we've come together and we've been redeemed by the greatest blood donor in history, Jesus the Messiah. And his Jewish blood is the root of why we're here today. Many people struggle with that in the church because they think, well, let's get rid of the Jewish part. But if you got rid of the Jewish part, then you have to throw Yeshua out with it. And he said that salvation is of the Jews. He understood that through Jewish history and through the Jewish bloodline and through him, we would all come into one family by the precious blood of Jesus. Now you'll hear I use the name Jesus and Yeshua. I'm speaking about the same Lord and Messiah. Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation in English. But today I want to bring you up to date in a kind of a prophetic updated message. And I was looking for a title. It's always hard to find a title when you're dwelling on various things. So I decided to call it, Let the End Times Rock and Roll. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 says these words, beginning in verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hachazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah, or Yehuda in Hebrew, gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to your descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they shall dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Today, I'm here to bring you a real message of the real situation as we see it. And probably one of the greatest obstacles, I believe, facing the people of God today. I mean the born-again believers in Yeshua the Messiah. From whatever denomination or from whatever segment of the church people call themselves or relate to, there has come upon the church almost like a kind of a sedative, an anesthetic that is putting people to sleep. We have been bombarded by media. We have heard, I have heard with my own ears, many Christians in this country saying that they get their news and they get their guidance, well, I added that word guidance, from watching the BBC. And I look at the Word of God and I say, wait a minute, what's more powerful and what's more real? What the media tells us in radio and television or in print, or from the Word of God? Where do we build our faith on? On the temporal, on the deceived? Or do we rely on what Scripture tells us? Because this is the greatest GPS system we have in our lives right now, the Word of God. And the Word of God is so accurate and so clear to us. You know, I think that what happens is that as a result of being subjected and bombarded through the internet and through the media, we've also been tested to the limits in our faith because we're not keeping our focus as we sometimes are challenged to do so. And so, people of God, today I want to challenge you. We need to walk out of that indifference, out of that spirit of apathy, out of that spirit that would try and bring us to succumb to the worries of this world, taking our eyes off the hope of salvation. And it's easy to swerve in the midst of the end times. So first of all, what is happening that is happening in the Middle East, across Europe and across the world as I see it? And we're going to end on a positive note because we have a lot more work to do, saints. First of all and foremost, there is rising persecution against the Jewish people all over the globe. Today, According to an article on June 26th, for the first time since World War II and before the Holocaust 70 years ago, the global Jewish population has returned to over 16 million Jews. Now, most of those Jewish people are centered in the following nations, according to the population registrar at the end of 2014. Israel now has the largest Jewish population on the earth, with 6,103,200 Jewish people once again resident in the land of Israel. After that is 5.7 million Jews in the United States of America. After that, and what is a surprise to many people, the third largest Jewish population in the earth today is in France, with over 475,000 Jews. Then Latin America, with all the countries, 383,500 Jews. In fifth place is the United Kingdom, with 290,000 Jews. Russia, with 186,000. Germany, with 118,000. Australia, with 112,500. I'll just skip down to a couple others. The Ukraine, with 63,000. Hungary, with 47,900. And for some reason, I don't know why they've stayed, but over 20,000 Jews still remain in Iran. There are a few other countries listed. But the point is this, that we are facing a time where anti-Semitism is rising like never before. In fact, yesterday, there was supposed to be a very explosive demonstration in Golders Green by a fascist neo-Nazi movement that intended on burning Jewish prayer books in the streets of Golders Green, but the police canceled that. I think the news reported only about 200, 250 of them showed up. Thank God our prayers are at work. You see, as Pastor Clive was saying, it's important to show up on Wednesday night to pray. It's important afterwards there'll be a prayer meeting concerning Israel. These things we shouldn't take lightly, because there's power in our prayers. We can defuse the attacks of the enemy and subdue them underneath the lordship of Jesus the Messiah. Never belittle the power of prayer. But anti-Semitism is on the rise. American students on American universities are being shouted at. Jewish students are being shouted at just for being Jewish. Some of those same Jewish students are not necessarily pro-Israel. Some of them are very liberal, but they're being shouted down. They're being castigated. They're being beaten up on some American universities, pushed and shoved. No different in the United Kingdom, just for being Jewish. There is a rise in the spirit of Nazism that's re-rising up through radical jihadist Islam today. And it's only those who understand God's purposes for Israel and the church who are coming alongside and standing with the Jewish people in this hour. But I do not see this spirit of anti-Semitism abating. I see it on the rise, because anti-Semitism is not just something social, it's a demonic spirit. And that's exactly how the devil sought to get in through church theology, through a doctrine we refer to as replacement theology, that when God turned to the church, he did away with the Jews. God has never finished his plan with the Jewish people. We're about to see the greatest love story fulfilled in the history of mankind. Amen? The salvation of Israel. Now, we also see amongst many of these countries, in fulfillment of a scripture verse in Jeremiah chapter 16, I'll just refer to it very quickly, although I'm sure many of you are familiar with it, but just I want to refer to it so I don't misquote it. Jeremiah 16 says in verse 15, "The Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." Today, 70% of the Jewish population of France, due to the constant attacks and terror attacks that have been going on against the Jewish community in France, and not just the Jewish community, many secular institutions have been attacked, as you know, back in January of this year. And four Jewish people were murdered, slaughtered in a kosher supermarket down in Paris. Bati and I were there the first day they opened. A couple months later, Bati and I went back to the dedication of the store that was renovated and the new staff that was there. And we went in just to buy some products there to show our solidarity and to kneel and pray there by where many hundreds of people had laid flowers for the four Jewish people that were murdered and massacred by an Islamic jihadist. Those very four Jews are buried across where we live in Jerusalem. We live across the highway from a cemetery. And I went and visited shortly after they were buried there. But this is not an isolated incident. This is on the rise in Europe. And as a result, 70% of the 475,000 Jews of France are considering leaving France and making Aliyah, moving back to the land of Israel. That's a fulfillment of Scripture. Now, the French are very wise. They're taking their money out while they can, and they're buying properties all over a lot on the seacoast. It's going to be the next French Riviera. Seriously, they're buying properties up and down the Mediterranean coast where it's still cheap enough to buy with their finance because they're getting out before it's too late. And my call to my American Jewish brethren is get out before it's too late. America, the winds in Washington are blowing in a different direction. The present president and the administration and the State Department is beginning to change its song or its tune concerning Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. I say, get out while you can. Get out with your finances while you can and bring your riches home to Israel. So people are beginning to listen. And now the greatest Aliyah movements are coming from France, the Ukraine, and the United States. Because even here in Europe, there's a new convergence of three major streams. Islamic radical jihadism is coming together with many neo-Nazi fascist groups, which is joining together with many left-wing liberal radical groups that are very anti-God and are turning over any kind of moral positions left in this country, if there are any in the laws of this land and anywhere else in the Western world. Even in the Netherlands, there were pro-ISIS demonstrations in the streets of the Netherlands. How can anybody in their right mind begin to believe that ISIS is a peaceful movement? And yet it's come to Europe. Second of all, besides the Jews coming back as a great sign in our times, we see rising persecution in the world against Christians, not just in the Middle East, but I'm going to focus on the Middle East. And I'm so sad about what happened with all of you. We should be taking note of what took place on a beach in Tunisia about a week ago, where at least 38 people were gunned down and murdered at a beach resort in Tunisia. 30 of them, as I understand, were citizens of the United Kingdom. My heart goes out to you people. My heart goes out to this nation. But you know what? I haven't really heard that much beyond the initial shock and certainly the families that are suffered. We should pray for those families. Pray that the light of salvation and hope, somehow that the light will pierce the darkness. But people, it happened a week ago and already everybody's forgotten, except those families and the ones that were affected by it. Because it's going from one terror attack to the next. And you see, what happens is Jesus warned us of the spirit of lawlessness in the end times. He said so much to the point that our own agape love would be tested. Because we're becoming indifferent. We're becoming so used to it on the news. It seems like it happens every week. And unless it touches our lives directly, it's hard for us to relate to. Even living in Jerusalem, when there was war between Hamas shooting rockets into the southern region of Israel last summer, we live in Jerusalem. We had a few air raid sirens, you know, incoming rocket sirens, but not like the people that live in the south. People would write me, they say, how do you go about your business every day? You just do. You just live on. You keep going on. But today, there is now a brutal group called ISIS, as you know, which the BBC won't refer to as ISIS because it might offend them or somebody. Did you read that in the papers? It's unbelievable. This group, from its Nineveh branch, based in its stronghold of Mosul in Iraq, plus they have another stronghold in Syria. These terrorists have reinvented their horrific methods of murder. They are crucifying people. They are crucifying Christians. Where are the Christian pastors and the ministers in Europe? Why isn't there an outcry? Now, we know some churches are. But for the majority of the church, there's silence, there's indifference. And as one lady, I guess, innocently put it when I was sharing this the other day in a meeting, she said to Alistair, I think, I'm glad it's over there. It's not happening here. Did we forget what happened on July 7th, I think it was, in the United Kingdom? Did we forget 9/11? That was on British soil. That was on American soil. Israel faces this threat every day. And because of a good security fence and an excellent internal security, we've been able to keep, for the most part, the bad guys out. Amen? Amen. We need to wake up. They have locked their victims, bound into a car, chained in the car, and then shot it with an RPG rocket. They have placed just a week or so ago Christian men, Christians, our brothers and sisters, our Arab brothers and sisters that were kidnapped or captured in Iraq. They placed them, locked them into a cage, and lowered them into the water until they drowned. You could see the men praying clearly in a video. They have forced other Christians to kneel in a line and placed explosive cables around their necks and then detonated and decapitated these Christian men who were praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now, for the first time ever, over a week ago, ISIS Palestine published flyers in eastern Jerusalem threatening revenge against Christians. And I believe their target are the Arab Christians who are living in Israel and in Arab East Jerusalem. And these include many of my friends that are pro-Israel and vocal for that stand. Will you join us? Will you link arms with us? Will you intercede? Will you pray with us against this onslaught, this demonized onslaught? Because this is reminiscent of what happened in the 1930s leading up to the Nazi regime, which took the lives of nearly or over 50 million people across Europe and the globe. We are in this to the end, but we must link together. ISIS is rapidly gaining a foothold in Israel, even because of dozens of Arab citizens leaving the Israeli state for Syria and Iraq. No different than many of the Islamic jihadist citizens in the UK and Europe that are going to fight with ISIS. And many of them are coming back. I heard from one security source here in the United Kingdom, there's so many coming back, they can't keep track of them. But I believe that our prayers are much more powerful than the weapons of our enemy. For we fight not just in this case against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. Rising terror statistics, according to the United States State Department report, at the end of 2014, they released this report in June of this year. terror attacks worldwide soared by 35% in 2014, with 81% more fatalities. In 2014 alone, there were 13,463 terror attacks, resulting in the deaths of 32,700 people. 99% of those attacks, or 99.9%, was all in the name of radical Islamic jihadism. More than 60% of the attacks took place in five countries: Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, and Nigeria. 78% of the fatalities due to terror attacks took place in five countries: Iraq, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Syria. And no different do we see the wicked ways of Hamas beyond our southern border, which is now facing their own threat. ISIS is trying to overthrow Hamas in the Gaza Strip now. So some of these recent rocket attacks are no longer coming from Hamas into Israel. They're coming from ISIS, who just killed 60 Egyptian military personnel in the Sinai. People, we have a battle raging beyond the borders of Israel. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in a closed military zone on the northeast border with Syria. Believe it or not, for 40 years, as long as Bashar Assad, the dictator, was in charge of Syria, Israel had peace on its Syrian border. Now it's being overthrown by Al-Qaeda, by ISIS, and now we have problems on our borders. As I said, 2 weeks ago, I was up on the border with Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham. You know who Billy Graham is. His son, Franklin Graham, takes a strong stand for Israel and a strong stand for moral laws and principles in America. And he just recently, on a video presentation or on the news, he spoke to Christians saying, "Christians in America, be prepared for worldwide persecution." The trend is going against God's people. But guess what? With God on our side, the world defeated. Amen? So what I hope all this is going to do is not to depress us, but to impress us to move forward, because the time clock of prophecy is in the place where the birth pangs are not going to retreat. They're going to continue till the birth of the kingdom of God and the coming of Yeshua himself. But we have to realize this with our eyes open. CIA Michael Morell told the Jerusalem Post, the CIA, of course, is the intelligence agency in America. "Yes, Syria is a big mess. 240,000 Syrian citizens have been murdered in the last 4.5 years due to their civil war. Everyone is fighting everyone. There is a war between a dictator and his people, a war being fought between emissaries of Iran and Saudi Arabia, between Shiites and Sunnis, between secular groups and fanatical Islamist organizations. To be honest, I must admit that I can't answer on how to solve the problem." That's where the world is coming to. That's where the United Nothings came to a long time ago, the UN. They talk big, but there's nothing they can do. And now the nations of the world are succumbing to the worst deal ever with nuclear-driven Iran. And as our Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just said the other day, he said, "This is not just a bad deal, it's a worse than bad deal." The nations don't know how to negotiate. And they don't realize that lifting the sanctions against Iran and sending them billions of dollars of gold reserves that were held back is only going to fuel global terrorism that much more. It's very interesting. Our own intelligence service said ISIS is nothing compared to Iran with nuclear weapons. We have to take all this in very carefully and digest it carefully, people. But Bhatti and I are not going to sit back. We are not going to sit back in silence. We're not going to be discouraged by all this. Are you? because I believe Kingdom Faith is extending the borders of the kingdom of God here in the United Kingdom and beyond. Well, guess what? The Joseph Storehouse isn't just about cowering down in a fortress. We're going to extend the borders of the kingdom of God. I'm doing more now than at half my age. In fact, now I'm a little bit discouraged. What was I doing half my age ago? You don't even know my age. But I can tell you, it's older than you think. And then again, maybe it's younger than you think. Yeshua told us in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Look to somebody to your right and left and say on behalf of the Lord, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 19 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, when I became a believer at 17 years old, you couldn't shut me up for anything concerning the gospel. I mean, I was so on the go, I would place a track on every car, in every parking lot, in every public phone booth. I would preach to the animals. And I would use that to practice to preach to people. I went back to the same drug parties of musicians I was with because I was an anarchist, red headband, Marxist, socialist, atheist, Jewish, hippie, rock and roll guitar player. And I said, I had been freed from all that. I didn't even want to go back into it. But I said, I got to go give them the word. So I had a scheme. If I freak them out, as we use that word, and I use a shock and awe tactic, when they get high, I'm going to read them everything bad about the end of the age and about prophecy. I'm going to read the book of Revelations and let them be on their LSD trips, nearly freaking out as the movie unrolled in their imaginations. And that's exactly what I did. I'd go back to these drug parties. People were smoking hashish, marijuana. They were doing LSD. They were doing cocaine and everything under the sun and heroin. And I'd just start reading the book of Revelation. And people like were going silent everywhere. Some people were going on bad trips. And I go, let's pray then. And you know what? It worked. That shock and awe tactic. Well, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We're that much closer to the end of time and the end of the age. You know, we should be turning around, not just receiving teaching, but you've been taught so much here. I'm positive. By Pastor Clive, by Pastor Colin, and many other teachers that have come in your midst and are in your midst, we should be turning around teaching others. We should be spreading what we've been given. God hasn't invested in you all these years for nothing. You know, our son's a military captain in Israel, and he loves the Lord. I've been determined to get him over here. He's 26 years old now, and I think it's about too late to offer him to any single ladies. I think we may be seeing another marriage in the family. But well, I didn't mean to say that, but anyhow, thank you. Pray for him. But she loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. I tell you, he came out of full-time military service as a captain. Now he's in the reserves. And he was fighting in war and all this stuff. He has a wonderful pastoral heart. And then he went on one missions trip, Pastor Clive, one missions, medical missions trip to Ethiopia. And he came back and it was like every light of the kingdom of God turned on in this his soul. And now he's so on fire for God. It's amazing. I don't even recognize my same son. I'm so happy about it, but it's like, you know, pick up the electric guitar again. Don't become too religious. No, I'm kidding. No, he loves the guitar as well. But It says in Mark, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you know how many of you have friends that are suffering from some illness in your family or elsewhere? You can go lay hands on them. You shouldn't be bashful to do such a thing. You don't have to wait to the next Sunday service for that. Finally, we conclude in 2 Chronicles, and then we'll close with a short video. It says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, at the end of that chapter, or towards the end, middle of it, Jehoshaphat stood up in front of the people of Israel, and he said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who could sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. I believe in spiritual warfare, and I believe in the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of carnal strongholds. And we have proven this time and again through the work of the Joseph Storehouse. In the 21 years we've existed, we have reached out and helped over 800,000 Israeli people with physical humanitarian aid, whether Jewish, whether Arab, whether from any other minority group in Israel, to believers, to non-believers. Our God is a great God. But we are embarking on an even bigger project than we ever realized before. Not only have we been helping Holocaust survivors and victims of terror attacks and children and orphans and children suffering from domestic abuse, Israel has a great social tidal wave of problems facing it, primarily because of the onslaught of continual war and terror raises the emotional stress level to almost intolerable to live with. That's why cancer is one of the leading causes of death in Israel. We have some of the greatest technology to fight against cancer, but you cannot fight stress with drugs. And stress is heightened when you lose your hope. Stress is heightened when you don't know where your next income will be there for you to feed your family. And we've been in home after home after home where there's only a loaf of bread and maybe a liter of milk. Social problems are on the rise in Israel. And that's why, as believers, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, we must fulfill God's word when Jesus spoke in Matthew 25 and he said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." So a few years ago, God led us to buy a piece of property as we close with this. And we bought this property in the height of the global recession, not even knowing if we would have money to proceed forward. And today that land is worth double what we bought it for. We are just about in 1 month completing the stage of building the concrete shell of a $10 million complex. Until this date, today, we've spent $5 million and we don't owe a bank anything, and we don't owe to any supplier anything, and we hope we'll be able to finish the next $5 million with the love of God and the help of his saints. But this place is dedicated for the physical and spiritual restoration of Israel. And as Pastor Clive mentioned, we're going to have congregational meetings there, and we're going to have educational and community-wide meetings to help encourage the people of Israel along with the dispensing of aid. So in closing, I'd like to just challenge you to please stand by our side, keep our arms lifted up, as we continue forward to extend the borders of the kingdom of God in Israel so that we can usher in the hope of Israel and the good news of our Messiah. We present to you on this DVD, the Millennium Center. God bless you and thank you for having us. Bless you. Just to let you know, on the back table outside in the foyer, we have a sign-up sheet. If you're really interested in connecting with how you can pray for Israel, please sign up with your address, email. We'll get you on the list right away. It's a free service. And also, Bhatia wanted me to remind everybody, I think on an Android phone and on iPhones, you can download an app. You have to search for it, Vision for Israel. And here in the UK, as you know, our name is the Joseph Storehouse, and our UK website is josephstorehouse.co.uk. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon at the New Millennium Center. We'd love to have you come and dedicate it with us next year. God bless.
We'll just pray for you guys when I come up. That's amazing, isn't it? Amazing, brilliant. Do you guys want to come up? Let's pray for Barry and Bhatia. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for these guys being light in darkness. Father, we thank you for the anointing of your Spirit that you've placed upon their lives. Father, we thank you for what they carry, what you've placed in them that they are running with, that they declare, speak, decree, live, proclaim, lead. Father, we thank you for an increase in the weightiness of the mantle and the anointing that is upon their lives. Father, I thank you for the increase of the anointing that breaks through. Where there's opposition, where there's resistance, where the bigger picture of the enemy wanting to do all the stuff that we've heard about this morning. Father, we thank you for the anointing upon their lives to break through and continue to break through in your kingdom purposes, Father. We thank you for a breaking out of the things of God in their lives and in everything that you've ask them to put their hand to, a breaking out of who you are in a fresh way. Father, we thank you for that center, that facility that is going up that we've just seen. We thank you for your provision, that there's no debt and that you've been providing as they go. Father, we thank you for that continued provision all the way along, that it will be open debt-free. That word that you gave Barry years ago, that when that thing's open, it will be debt-free. They'll have no mortgage, no debt. They won't owe anything to anybody. That you continue to prove yourself faithful, as he said at the beginning. That's what I want on my tombstone. God is faithful. And I thank you that you continue to prove who you are, not just to them, but to everybody looking on, to the nation of Israel and what you're doing in that part of the world. Father, we just thank you for your protection. We draw a bloodline around your life, around Vision for Israel, everything that you're doing in the nations. Father, we thank you. You go ahead of them in a way that they, more than they could ask or imagine. Father, we thank you for your favor, your provision to serve more and more people than they ever have before. But the gospel going with that serving, the gospel going with the medical supplies, with food supplies, with clothing supplies, your gospel going out, Father, and with many, many Jewish people coming to you, coming to faith in you, having a revelation of who you are as their Messiah. Many of those that are Islam, Muslims, many having a revelation of you, men and women they're serving, families they're reaching out to. Many of those would come to know you in these coming days, months and years. Father, we thank you for a move of the Spirit in the nation of Israel like we've never known before. That's going to supersede everything else we've ever seen and known before. Father, we thank you for your salvation running through that nation, running through the people groups, right through that nation, into the darkest areas, because your light pierces every aspect of darkness. Father, we thank you. We praise your mighty name. And Father, we just pray that in the midst of everything they're doing, that they'd be refreshed, they'd be strengthened. They would know your energy and vitality. Those that they're raising up to run with the baton that you've given them. Those that are younger, those that are coming into that season with them. Father, we thank you. You give these guys energema right now in the days that they're living in, but also as they raise up others, that they would run with these guys, run with that bat, run together generationally through the nation of Israel. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 We just want to honor you for who you are and what you're standing with, what you represent on earth at this time and in this season. So bless you in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's encourage them. Bless them. Bless you, man. Thanks for coming. Bless you. Thanks so much for coming. Bless you.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, this is an hour that we need to be praying in as the church. It's an important hour to pray. The enemy wants to magnify darkness and he wants to make it look impossible. And, you know, one of the weapons of our warfare is prayer and intercession. We're not here fighting against people. Paul clearly describes in Ephesians, it's a fight against the spiritual principalities and powers. That's what's going on. It's not a battle over, you know, this, that, and the other in terms of people. It's a battle over nations. It's a battle over peoples. And that we're to hit that in prayer in the spirit. This Wednesday, it's important we hit that in spirit, just in the light, the prayer that's going on in the life of the church. We'll get more accomplished in the spirit than we will trying to do it in the natural. If there's victory in the spirit, we'll see the fruit of that worked out in the natural. So I just want to encourage you, come and pray. Just grab your seats for a moment. And it's great being having these guys with us this morning, isn't it? They've got the stuff in the hub. Go and chat with them. Go and say hi to them. Go and encourage them. If anybody wants to give financially into the building, okay, you can ask them how to do that out on the stand. If you want to do something regular or you want to do a one-off thing, then you can find out how to do that out in the hub this morning. Just one other thing before we close today. We've got really got an exciting development with Kingdom Faith. There's an organization called For Mission, and they run degree courses in different ways to do with theology and mission. And we're going to begin to partner with them as Kingdom Faith and begin to offer a missional theology degree as part of being at the Bible College here. And so we're going to be launching that in the autumn. In a few months' time, in terms of people being able to begin a 3-year theology or missional theology degree. But we just wanted to at least begin to let you know that we have these brochures that are For Mission brochures, which describe what that degree course looks like. And if you are interested in finding out more about that, do come and have a conversation. Even this morning, Pastor Jonathan Croft would love to chat with you. If you're thinking, actually, I wouldn't mind doing a theology degree, or what does that involve? What does that look like? Okay, then come and have a chat with him. We'll do a bit more of a presentation about this over the next couple of weeks. But if this is something that anybody wants to look at to do from the autumn onwards, then you just need to get your skates on a little bit to get that organized. But we're going to be partnering with them over the coming years, and it's an amazing what is possible working with these guys to equip people, get training, and develop people in ministry and leadership. And it'll be very much based with us here as a church, but obviously enables people to get a missional theology degree in that context. So some of the students, current students we have at the Bible College, they're interested, and some are looking at doing that. So people who do the first year of the Bible school, the foundation year, and then from the second year onwards, they can then start the 3 years of the missional theology degree. So if you want to find out, then come and have a chat with Jonathan. You can grab a brochure and see what that's all about. And we'd love to, it's not just about getting a qualification. That's not really, you get one, but actually it's the depth of training in ministry and leadership, what you'll get involved in the life of who we are, and very much in terms of how we're planting out congregations and beyond, and all the things that we're doing, and how people can get really actively trained in those in specific areas. So it's a massive resource and tool, isn't it? It's going to be exciting, I think, how this can go forward. Bless you guys. Thanks, but we're a bit late. But if you want to grab your kids straight away, then do that. That will really bless the children's workers. The hub's open. Be really blessed. Go and say hi to Baron Battier. Check out the stall. There's loads of resources there. Have a really amazing week. See you Wednesday night, 7:30 here. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.